darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you. As with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to their own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was one of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. The Gospel of Christ.
Where you're standing, let's pray. Loving God, as we unwrap the most astounding gift ever given this evening, help us to truly understand and appreciate you, the giver. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please be seated? Who here is excited to open some presents, either tonight or tomorrow? Yeah. I know I am. I can't see your hands. The light is shining right in my eyes, but I know there's some out there. But what if you were to go home and find a present for you wrapped really beautifully under the tree, and you were to unwrap it very carefully and discover a single toothpick? What would you think? Maybe that the person who gave it to you didn't like you very much. Or maybe that you had something stuck in your teeth and it was a way of them telling you you needed to clean your teeth. Or maybe you were building a toothpick tower and you were missing just one toothpick. And the person that gave it to you knew that you needed just one toothpick, and so maybe it was just the perfect gift. You can discover a lot of clues about people and their relationships by looking at the gifts that they give and the gifts that they receive. Harry Potter, for example, gets from the Dursleys, from his awful relatives, a single toothpick for Christmas one year. That's pretty awful. Another year, he gets a single Kleenex. For his 10th birthday, he gets a coat hanger and a pair of his uncle's old socks. Not very nice. Very clearly, the Dursleys did not care about Harry Potter very much, and they weren't very generous. These were not thoughtful gifts. Harry was not building a toothpick tower at the time. But from Hagrid and Harry's other friends, he got some really thoughtful gifts. Like Hagrid gave him a photo album of his parents who had died a long time ago so that he could see their pictures. That's a very, very thoughtful gift. And clearly Harry's friends knew him and cared about him. As we heard read for us just a few minutes ago, the prophet Isaiah made a promise about a gift that was coming. Not just for one person, but for the whole world. To us a child is born. To us a son is given. A son is given. So we're going to do a little bit of investigating, a little snooping this evening to figure out the relationship behind this gift that Isaiah talks about. Who's the giver? And who's the receiver? And what is this gift? And who is it? And is it a good gift? So first of all, the giver. Who thinks they know who the giver is of this gift? You're going to have to shout it out. I can't see you. God. Thank you. God is the giver of the gift. God gave this gift, the gift of his son. And the Gospel of John says God loved the world so much that he gave his only son. To give the absolutely most precious thing in your entire world must mean that you love the people you're giving it to an awfully lot. And this is how we know that God is good. This is how we know that God loves us just a tremendous amount, because he gave us the most precious gift he absolutely could have given. And God is a very, very good gift giver. He knows exactly what we need at all times. But what about the gift itself? Unto us a child is born, Isaiah says. Unto us a son is given. What kind of gift is that? Maybe for people who are really longing for a child, or people who are expecting a baby and really, really hoping for a boy, maybe the news that a son is given would be really exciting. But what about for everyone else? Think about it. How is the birth of a little, wrinkly, helpless, crying baby in a faraway country thousands of years ago, how is that any kind of good gift for us right now? Isaiah the prophet gives some clues about this too. Because, as you know, this isn't just any son. This isn't just any baby. Isaiah says the baby's name will be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So it's not only that the gift is God's own son, the most precious gift that God could have given, but the gift, the son, is God. God himself, giving himself as a gift for the whole world. He saw a world that was so sad and so broken and so lost and in need of him that he gave himself to the whole world as a gift. And he lived as one of us, experiencing all the hard things about being human. Like getting wet in the rain and then getting a cold and being hungry and being sad and being tired. And then when he grew up, he became our champion. And he took on all of the forces of sin and darkness and evil and death, and he defeated them resoundingly on the cross and rose again. What a gift! And now we're almost done our investigation into this relationship because we know about the giver, God, and how much he loves his people. And we know about the gift, Jesus. But there's one more question to ask. Because what about the people that it's given to? How do we receive this gift? Because how a gift is received tells as much about us as it does about the giver, doesn't it? Is this the kind of present that we open at Christmas and we say, oh, that's very nice, cute little baby Jesus. And then we set him away again and don't look at him for the rest of the year. No. Or do we look at this gift in confusion and not know what to do with him? And so maybe we intend to read the user's manual, the Bible, but we never get around to it. And so we shove him off in the corner again and ignore him. No. Or do we receive this gift at Christmas and look at Jesus and see that God himself has given us the greatest gift in the entire universe? Yes! And he has come to comfort us and to heal us and to restore us and to give us purpose and to give us life. And so we decide to read the user's manual, right? The Bible. And to spend every single day of our lives getting to know that gift better and letting him change our lives. Sometimes it takes a little while to appreciate how good a gift is. Think of the Marauder's map, back to Harry Potter, that he gets from his friends Fred and George in book 3. And it looks like a blank map for those who haven't seen or read it. It looks just like a blank piece of paper. Nothing special. And it's only when they explain what it is and teach him how to read it that it becomes a special map that not only shows all the secret passages in the whole school, but the location of every single person. And Harry starts appreciating this map. And the gift ends up being the thing that saves the entire day. But if Harry had just looked at this and shrugged and said, well, it doesn't mean anything to me. I'm going to set it aside as useless because I don't know what to do with it. Everything would have been lost. My friends, we are the recipients of the greatest gift of all time, given to us by the most generous, most loving Father of the entire world. To us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. As the Apostle Paul says later, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. May we receive him with joy. Amen.
You've just listened to a podcast from Little Trinity Church in Toronto. Please check out our website at www.littletrinity.org to find out more about our ministries and services.